nice things.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another fun-packed, thrill-filled adventure ride with nice things.
Nice things.
The antidote.
Sorry, I wasn't expecting that at all.
I wasn't. It's not an adventure ride.
It's really not, is it?
That adventure ride.
Makes it sound like something you go on at Alton Towers. And I really don't think...
Have you been Alton Towers ever?
Oh, God. Years ago, I hated every minute of it.
We went with the Pach. Did you have that when you were a kid? Like trendy... Well, they were probably about 20 or summer, you know, youth workers who used to come to your local park and you'd do days out and shit with them.
Absolutely not. This sounds awful.
You didn't ever have that?
No.
Oh, mate, you've never lived.
Oh, I remember. I mean, once at church, they had these young, trendy people who came
in. That's
them. Right. But instead of going out the back for Sunday school, which I always quite liked because I made quite a thing of my exit. I always imagined that I was doing an impressive exit, you know. Absolutely. Yes.
I am leaving.
I am leaving for the moment. I shall return. That sort of thing. I like people to know. Don't give a little bow to the altar.
Until then,
like
you
that.
Shall miss me.
That's it. However, I went in once and it wasn't the usual two old ladies. It was the young people. And then all of a sudden... We weren't even staying in the church hall. We went to some terraced house on Briardale Road or something. I didn't know what was going on. I thought, I don't like this at all. So I made myself vomit.
Ah, the thing again.
Yeah. No.
The pretending you're ill thing.
No, no, because I had nothing to prepare. No.
But it's the same...
Well, it's the same sort of thing, but I actually had to be sick. I was so angry and demanding to go back. It worked.
We had a guy, I can't remember his name, but he looked like Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners.
Oh, yes.
And it would have been Come On Eileen time.
Similar period, yeah.
You know what I mean? So he was into music, and I used to talk to him lots and lots. I used to take a magazine at the time called Number One, right? Which was kind of like a smash hits for Catholics.
Okay.
DC Thompson printed it. It's pedigree was bona fide, you know?
Right, okay.
So it's printed up in Dundee.
Dundee, yeah.
As opposed to Smash Hits, which was... Anyway. And so I used to learn things about music from that and ask him, and he was cool. He was a cool guy.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the only summer holidays. I didn't stay in the house all summer. I used to go to the park every day. And one
and then
of the boys...
meet these people.
And I'd meet these people. And one of the boys who was there, called Daryl... had a horse, which I was most impressed by. And he lived on the same council estate as me.
So has he stolen it?
I don't know, because one day I turned up at the park, St. George's, King George's Park, Haydock, and there's bloody Daryl. And I thought Daryl was odd as well. I thought the name was odd. I'd never heard of a Daryl.
No. It's not a real name, is it?
No, this is like 1982.
Oh, no.
And people with not real names weren't common.
But then, of course, you do get a Daryl. The first Daryl I can think of is the name of Linda Robson's husband in Birds of a Feather. So it is common.
I remember a film called Daryl.
Daryl,
the
box.
Oh, look, the camera's following me.
Can't get used to this camera.
I'll put the other one back.
No, I like this. This is good. Lean for the boys and girls. There we go. Look at that.
There we
are. Back we go.
And we go back. No, we don't.
No, we don't.
It decides what it wants. No, there was a film called Daryl. Daryl in like 80s computer letters.
Is that Daryl Hannah?
No, she came later with Splash. Anyway,
okay.
I turned up there one day preparing for a sort of zesty day of talking about Mark and the Mambas and Culture Club with whoever he was called.
Right.
We'll call him Kevin because he looked like Kevin Rowlands.
Right.
And Daryl's just galloping past in the next field on this horse. I was most jealous.
And it was his horse. He hadn't just...
His horse. Ooh. Kevin told me.
Well, I'd have been quite jealous.
I was really jealous. I'm still jealous.
And then to make it worse, these people made you go to Alton Towers.
Right, okay, Alton Towers, yes. No, it must have been school, actually, so all of that was bullshit. It doesn't matter. I know it must have been school because I sat on the coach next to Lindsay McLaughlin, who I went to school with.
Oh, wow, yes.
And my mum used to have Well, we used to sit next to each other in school. It was boy-girl years.
Yeah.
But my mum used to have these really cheap, hard plastic suitcases that they bought for going to Lourdes. Right. So I had a red plastic suitcase full of butties and pasties and pop and all that shit.
Right.
And we went to Alton Towers, thinking we'd be returning to the coach for luncheon.
Yes.
No.
No.
So whilst the other boys and girls were paying $3.99 for a burger and chips, I was just like that. I'll wait. I know how to wait.
Oh, yes.
And I got back anyway. Fuck off. Case off the thing. Open. And there was just like, you can imagine there'll have been pastry and egg and cress.
Oh,
and
yes.
Just fly. I just remember Lindsay McLaughlin's face. She was, I learned there and then that gluttony is not impressive to girls.
No, they don't like that.
And swiftly forgot it.
Yes.
Mm. Mm. Yes.
Did
anyway,
you enjoy
so
Alton
we went
Towers?
No. The only bit I liked, there was a toy museum in there, and they had old toy cars and action men and stuff like that.
Oh, I've never seen that bit.
Yeah,
no, not a fan of the rides then.
Don't think I went on any.
Really?
No, it must have been the park because Kevin was trying to persuade me to go on the Corkscrew. we must have been twice then.
Right. Okay. So, did you go on any rides either time?
No, Thor.
Right, so what's the point of going twice if you're not going to go on any rides? Because you must have known after the first time, oh, that's what Alton Towers is about.
Well, the second
time, I'm not going to go.
I didn't leave me dinner on the bus. So I kind of reclaimed it, if you know what I mean. From a psychological point of view, it was important that I re-entered the arena, as Young White might say.
Right, so you travelled 80 miles to eat a suitcase full of lunch?
And I'd do it again. Right, now.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
Anyway, we've not even heard who you are.
Who am? Whoa!
Because
of
us being so sort of...
Off we go.
Well, we've had a week off.
We have.
And it's kind of... Isn't it? It's like...
What's this? What's
that
is dance?
Julie Christie in Far From the Madding Crowd at the Corn Exchange.
She does... What, like the woman from Tales of the Unexpected?
Mm. Sort of. Bathsheba throws the corn everywhere, doesn't she? And it's all slow-mo. And Peter Finch is stood there going, core.
Well, you would if it was Julie Christie. And when was
indeed.
That? 67, I think?
69. And so it's obvious to see what Peter Finch... But he stands no chance, does he, with Terence Stamp?
Oh, no.
As Sergeant Troy.
Oh.
And nor does he stand a chance against... Doodar is Farmer Bold. You know the fella there. The Allen fella. Famous Allens.
Alan Badle.
Bates.
Oh, Alan Bates. Yes.
So Alan Bates is there with his brooding sort of swarthy looks.
Mm.
And Sergeant Troy's there. And Peter Finch... He's the sort of rich old boy there, isn't he?
Mm.
And so, of course, she marries him.
Yeah.
But, if you know your literary sources, we all know Bathsheba from the Bible. So, anyway, doesn't matter.
No,
we've had a week off. That was that was Julie Christie in the Corn Exchange throwing everything.
Right, okay.
Saying,
expressing
she's symbolising
her freedom.
Fuck society, fuck norms.
Right, okay. Chucking corn.
By chucking corn. Well, you think about it, the Corn Exchange.
Yes.
So she's like, I don't care about money and I don't care about commerce.
Okay, I suppose.
And I've had a week, and so have you, of not caring about work and caring about commerce.
That's true, yes, not caring about anything.
No, we got there in the end. You see what I mean?
So back to your original question about who I am.
Yes.
Well, what I was going to say was... Oh, it did that jump thing then, that camera.
Right, I know what it is. It's all right, I know what it is.
Okay, right. We've got new tech. I haven't, as you can see.
You've got my old tech and it's working better than mine.
It's working beautifully. But anyway, what I was going to say is...
Yes.
My name is Paul Carmichael and welcome to our special for the 7th of April, which is when we're recording it. But there's bugger all that's happening.
You know, in the world.
Yeah, you know, we can always find certain things. So
I know
something
that's happening.
Really?
Yeah, on Radio 2.
We'll come to that.
Hey, dackle ding dang do for me.
Yep, we'll come to that. Anyway, the best I could find is it's National Coffee Cake Day.
I like coffee and I also like cake.
That's good. And then it's also National No Housework Day.
Has been for a few weeks, unfortunately.
And then if I scroll down, I've got the Am I Gay test. I don't know why.
How did you score?
I haven't done the test.
Screaming.
That's basically all. that's basically it. Nothing seems to be happening today. It's the anniversary of the death of Richard the Lionheart.
Ah, Coeur de Lion.
Yes. Mm. I mean, there's that. He got shot in the shoulder, didn't he?
I can't quite remember. The play, the musical Blondel, is about the minstrel who allegedly sang beneath his window in Palestine and knew it was Richard the Lionheart in the cell.
Okay.
Because that's the myth about Coeur de Lion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wasn't he William the First's son?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's...
1086, isn't it?
When he died?
No, when he
1199. Oh, yeah, yeah. And so he dies in 1199, Richard
the Lion. Oh, right. It can't be 1086 then. So he's not William the First's son. So there's William the First, then William the Second, isn't there?
Right.
In quick succession, I think.
Yeah. Whoever he is, but anyway, died today.
We think.
Well, not today. No, we know.
We don't know.
We do
know. Because he didn't come back from the Holy Wars.
No, but they wrote it down.
Who did? The fellas who had him in a cell?
No, he wasn't in a cell when he died.
I thought that's how he died. I thought he just never came back. Oh, I hope it's moving again.
It is again. No. he's in France. Well, he's in Aquitaine. And he's wandering around, you know, the top of a chateau out there. And he hadn't put his stuff on, you know, his chain mail. He's not got that on.
Have I got the wrong bloke then?
You might have. So he's wandering around. This is Richard the Lionheart.
Yeah, no, I thought that Blondel business was about that. Go on, you crack anyway, on.
So he gets shot in the shoulder, right? And shot in the shoulder. And then he dies of gangrene 10 days later. But he said about the bloke who's meant to have shot the arrow, and there's like loads of people who say, oh, it was this person or that person. But there's a bloke called Peter Basil who might have done it. He said, I forgive him, let him go. And as soon as he died, they flayed him alive.
Oh, heck.
Wouldn't like
that sounds like it might hurt.
Well, yeah, because the idea is you're skinning the person, but you're trying to get all the skin off in one piece while they're still alive. Right. And you'd think to yourself, well, that's going to, you know, finish you off quite quickly. No, it could take 2 weeks to die with no skin.
Bloody hell.
Imagine that. You wouldn't want that.
No. No. So, I really wouldn't.
No. No, nobody would want that. Anyway, but that was literally the only thing I could find that marked out the 7th of April as being in any way special. So there we go.
Yeah, I know. So the Blondel de Nesler stuff is part of the legend, right? So that bit's right.
Hmm.
I think I'm getting mixed up with another king who never returned from the Crusades then. Because that's the whole basis of Robin of Sherwood, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
They're aligned to the old king who don't come back.
Well, no, but that's it because... Hang on. Yeah, no, Richard the Lionheart, he goes off to fight. King John takes over in his...
That's right, yeah.
Yes. Well, no, he doesn't come back, but don't forget the main thing, and this is why I love it when, you know, these nationalist people go on about Richard the Lionheart. He hated Britain. He genuinely hated Britain. So he very rarely came here. He loved France, and he stayed there. I don't think he could speak English, or he couldn't speak it very well, one or the other.
Well, if he didn't come back from the Crusades, how was he killed in Aquitaine?
Well, because Aquitaine's between us and the Middle East. So he's like...
Aquitaine's France, isn't it?
Yes, and France is between us and the Middle East.
No, but if he didn't come back from the Middle East, how did he get killed in France?
Because he came back to France.
He was on his way home?
To France.
Okay. I thought, yeah, so he did return from the Crusades then?
Well, he did, yeah, he just didn't come back to Britain.
Well, he never come here, did he?
Well, he hated it, yeah.
Couldn't be asked. It's weird, though, isn't it, that the Normans go through that transformative thing and they fall in love with the Age of Kings, the Saxon kings?
Yes.
And they start venerating them, don't they? And then they change their names and they become the Plantagenets.
Mm, that's it.
The White Rose. And then the Plantagenets become the House of York, don't they?
Yes.
Anyway. Oh, History lessons.
Well, you know,
from people who can hardly remember any of it.
Can't remember what I had for breakfast here, but I'll give Richard the Lionheart a crack. But yes. Anyway, An Age of Kings. Have you seen that?
No.
26 episodes, BBC, 1964, but a lot of money has been spent.
Oh,
and what
nice.
They do is they take that whole cycle, all the Henrys and the Richards, all the Shakespeares, and they basically put them all together as one long 26-parter for the BBC.
Moving again.
It's very nice.
And this is in existence.
It's in existence, every episode.
Yes. It's the kind of thing they would have saved, isn't it?
Well, yes, when you look at the cast list and it's just everyone, you know, ever. It's Larry and, yes.
I want it. Where can I get it?
I think it's on DVD.
I bought a DVD and you didn't force me into it or anything.
Oh, hello.
Which is new. Actually, I bought a couple this week thinking
about it. Oh, okay.
I'll start the tale, if I may. With Get Carter, the 4K edition.
Right.
BFI have done a lovely job on this. If you can get hold of it, because it's kind of, it's been out and it's, you've got to buy it second hand sort of thing. But it's got a fantastic book with it and a poster and all that. Look at the boy there.
Oh, there we are. Look at
you're him. A big man, but you're in bad shape. With me, it's a full-time job. Now behave yourself. Simon does that so brilliantly. The best aspect of that, so the other night I watched the film, obviously, but then I watched it with the commentary, and it is the best commentary I've ever heard on a DVD.
Who does
Michael Caine?
Right. Oh, okay.
Mike Hodges.
Right.
Wolfgang, or Wolf as he's known, Sushitsky, who's the director of photography. Oh, and but the whole film looks so beautiful. But what's great about the commentary is that Hodges explains the way he got his locations, because he decided it was Newcastle, Get Carter. The book is doesn't specify which city. So there's some great... what's the producer's name now? Oh, man. Damn it, I can't read. Well, I can.
Okay.
The producer, there's a great feature with his son on the DVD, the Blu-ray, because it's 4K Blu-ray I got.
Yeah. Do you need to get your glasses, dear?
Such a shame I can't remember his bloody name. Anyway, I'll come to that.
Yeah.
The commentary is fantastic. So Mike Hodges explains that he walked the city, drove up to Newcastle and walked the city until he'd found the locations. And in doing so, he meets all the locals that he uses as extras. The majorette band thing that he thought was an American thing, that's such a pivotal point. You know, where Kane ends up on the front, bollocko holding the shotgun. He saw that and thought, I've got to get that in the... Anyway, so there's that aspect. But what's really interesting is he says, I had all these shots set up. And there's one scene where Bernard Hepton, who he persuaded out of retirement in 71. He'd semi-retired. Yeah, he says on the commentary. And he got him into Plythopi. Oh, man, he's amazing, isn't he? I mean, it's Bernard Hepton.
Oh.
But Mike Hodges makes the point on the commentary. He's like, he got him out of retirement, and he was so glad he did, because you look at his career post-Carter, called it Secret Army, etc.
Yeah.
So he says, and when we got on site, it was like, I'm just going to chuck a camera and keep it moving. You know what I mean? Because he couldn't, in these locations he'd picked, he couldn't do the shots he wanted. He couldn't get the cameras in the positions he wants. And so as a result, the look of the film, because, as Sushitsky says, they use natural light for the great majority of it. So the lighting is part of what is the realism of that film. You know, it's so moody and so dark, really. But the anecdote on it, forget all the technical stuff that I got out of it. By the way, none of these guys are in the same room, so it keeps cutting from one to the other, which is a shame.
Okay.
Which is a real shame.
So is it recorded separately? Or,
yeah. And they keep dropping. I know, but it's still good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ian Hendry plays Eric Pace in it. Okay. And he explains, Mike Hodges, that the idea was they rehearsed in Michael's suite of rooms in some plush hotel in London. They'll rehearse there and then we'll film the next day. We'll go up to Newcastle and film. So he said Hendry resented Kane so much because they'd both been in TV, hadn't they?
Yeah.
As Michael Caine said on the commentary, which surprised me, he did 125 live plays on television. So now you get why he understands the camera so well.
Oh, yeah.
He knows how to fill the frame. He knows where his eye lines are. He's...
Oh.
You find out in that commentary what a craftsman Michael Caine is.
The stuff when he talks about eyes. And, yeah. You know, he talks about, you know, it's not just the direction that you look at. It's not just where you look past the camera. It's which eye am I choosing to look at you with, because there's a difference. And you think, God, there is. But you don't ever think about that, you know.
No. He honed his skill on that. He's saying on the commentary, you know, people, directors are like apologising because, oh, it's pretty long scene here, Michael. You know, this scene's 3 minutes. And he's like, I did 3 hours 40 live.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So have you seen him in the BBC's Hamlet that came live from Elsinore
I've
Castle?
I've never seen that.
With Christopher Plummer as Hamlet.
Yeah.
Oh, the whole thing. An outdoor... Live outdoor broadcast coming from Elsinore itself. That's something. And Kane. Kane's Horatio. Horatio's a difficult part to get right. But God almighty, Kane is good. He's so good in that. And that's just on the cusp of when he's starting to go into movies. So
yeah. Well, Hendry and he... I mean, Hendry's obviously been working. Kane's come in, you know. And Kane's just overtook him and become... I mean, by the point they meet on Get Carter, Kane's done Alfie, he's done the Italian job, you know, he's done the Ipcrest file. He's a really big deal.
Yeah.
So they couldn't get this rehearsal for the scene done because of the resentment. And he said, and Hodges says, and Ian was pretty pissed. Mm. Well, he would be. Mm. So the scene where they meet in the movie at the racetrack, so Kane as Carter sees Eric Pace, and Eric's in a chauffeur's uniform with sunglasses on at the racetrack, and he's talking down to Hendry's character. It's like, because he's in a uniform, he's owned, and Kane's sort of like, you know, a swaggering lone wolf. But as Hodges says, what you see on screen, that was real. Hendry and Kane leans forward and takes the sunglasses off.
Yeah,
the face on Hendry.
So that's not a rehearsed thing. That's just...
That's what you're watching is the rehearsal. And Kane, the upstart, is criticising Hendry for being subordinate. And when he removes the sunglasses, Hendry looks like he wants to kill him. And he means it. So it's one of the best commentaries. It's one of the best films ever made, let's be honest. But that commentary is stunning. Stunning, mate.
Anything where you can see Ian Hendry in that state.
Oh man, it's sort of, I can see why he'd be resentful. But you know, Kane talks about Hendry a bit as well in the commentary, saying, you know, he was a heavy drinker, and he's like, I've never liked heavy drinkers. So Kane's obviously been dedicated to getting on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, because Hendry's doing films at that point, but of course he's doing British films with British money, and usually still in black and white, right up until the mid-60s, you know. So he's brilliant. Is it Children of the Damned? He's stunning in that, but nevertheless, it's a low budget.
But it's not Alfie.
Anglo-amalgamated, yes, but nevertheless. No, it's not Alfie. It's a B-movie. It's a very good B-movie, and he is brilliant in it, but it's a B-movie at the end of the day.
Well, there's a feature on the second disc, which is full of lovely features, and I will have to Google this just because I can't remember everything, lad. And it's by the son of the Michael Klinger is the producer, right? Okay. And he starts off as his son tells the story of being owning clubs in Soho and stuff like that. Then he opens a cinema, which he can't get real films, so he starts showing band films. So the next thing he knows, he's bankrolling films because he's really into European cinema, and there ain't enough banned films for him to show. So he starts back, and then somebody says to him the other day, well, what is it you do, Michael? And he tells him, he's like, oh, so you're a producer. This is the tale his son tells. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I suppose I am. Michael Klinger goes on, and one of the films he funds is Get Carter. And between reading the book and the film being up on the screen for the public, 37 weeks.
Good God.
The book was written, Jack's Return Home was written by Ted Lewis, who was sort of like a, I think they said he's the grandfather of Brit noir cinema, really, or literature at the very least. And he was from Scunthorpe. Yeah. And he was just churning out these pulp books, really. And this one caught the attention. And poor bugger drank himself to death. 42 he was.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he died in like 1979 or something like that. But anyway, so...
But you know what? To have been able to do that, to turn that out in, what, 8 months?
You know why? Because Michael Klinger loved it. And threw the money at it. And there's a BBC feature from the regional programme on the DVD.
Oh.
Which has got all these guys on it, like Michael Klinger and all that. Proper people.
Oh.
Proper pros. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I never thought of Kane as a sort of veteran of the early television years. I didn't think he'd done 125 live plays.
I knew he'd done a lot. But that's remarkable. But there was so much being made. We were talking this week, weren't we, about you want to get hold of Play for Today and the Wednesday Play. But there are literally hundreds. When you think of they had Play of the Month, Play of the Week, the Wednesday Play, Play for Today, Play for Tomorrow. And then you go to ITV, Armchair Theatre, Armchair Thriller, Play of the Month. But all these different things. There are thousands of episodes out there. Yeah. But it gave these people the chance to actually hone their craft. And if they got it wrong, they got it wrong, get it right on the next one.
But now the 70s, when you think about who is, performing in all this stuff that's so beloved,
yeah,
we are really reaping the benefit of 10 years of intensive training.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which I've always skipped that really mentally. I've always thought we'd benefited from the rep system, but it's actually it's them live TV years, not your live TV, but live television years that have like forged in the same way the Beatles were forged in the white heat of performing in Hamburg 18 hours a day.
Yeah,
these people are tempered.
Oh God, yeah, but I mean, it's an interesting crossover point, I think, because you know you go from rep and then rep and television basically can exist together. They rehearse in a similar way for a start, but yeah, I think that those early days when you watch them and they aren't great, some of them, and that's the thing, not all of them are classics. For every Kathy Come Home, there is a It Is Midnight Dr. Schweitzer, you know, which is so...
Well, we found one last week, though, didn't we, from 1985, was it, with Dinsdale Landon, This Office Life. Did you watch it?
This Office Life, I have.
Isn't it brilliant?
It's stunning. It's stunning.
It's just absurd. It's such an absurd thing.
Dinsdale Landon, as an actor, has an ability to play that absurdism with a truth. And I think the first place I saw it was he did Joe Orton, What the Butler Saw. He did that for the BBC in 1986.
I think he took over from, wasn't he part of, what were they called, the comedy troupe? He was part of that and he took over from Rossiter in Lute when Rossiter died.
That's right, he did, yes. But when he does What the Butler Saw, it's him and Prunella Scales working together, oh my God. And he plays the utter insanity and the absurdism with this real truth, so you can still completely believe him. But he plays falling apart so well, Dinsdale Landon. Whether it's in comedy or drama, he can fall apart like nobody I can imagine. Oh, stunning.
He plays the same character. He's the only one who plays the same character twice in Thriller, isn't he?
Mm.
Is it Malcolm Earp?
That's the name.
Because the conceit is that he's related to Wyatt Earp, isn't he?
Yeah.
You mentioned Prunella Scales, second purchase of my very own that you didn't force me into.
No, I
you
didn't.
Did correct me because I was buying the DVDs.
I did correct
you. Fawlty Towers.
There we go.
Watched some of them last evening with Cleese's commentaries, and it was only, and I kept going under the same spell every episode. I presumed he was talking to someone. That's how much those commentaries feel like he's talking to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never encountered a commentary like that.
No,
where I felt like
that.
I've had a conversation at the end of it.
Yeah. Oh, no, they are wonderful, the commentaries.
Snaps his memory on them. It's so granular.
Yeah. And real insight into process throughout the whole thing.
Oh, we were a bit late with that. And wow, man, how much have you analysed your own work?
There's a point, and I can't remember which episode it's on. I want to say it's The Builders, but I don't think it is. Where the cameras, because, you know, the way that they work those camera lags on Fawlty Towers was ridiculous. I think the average was, for a half-hour sitcom, was 240 shots. And that was it. Okay, so you could, 240 times, you could cut from one to camera three. And then, but 240. Fawlty Towers, on average, has 500 cuts per episode. And there's one point where the cameras are working so hard. So the cameras are obviously grouped right out from the set. And then they're moving in, like, this camera will move in, get a shot. Whilst that's getting the shot, that one's moving in. So it feels like the cameras are going in. And then on the last shot, there's a fraction of a second, and you've really got to look for this, where the camera isn't quite finished. It hasn't finished zooming. So just that tiny moment. Hadn't noticed it the first 20 times I've watched that. Cleese points it out. Oh, and then you go back and you're like, well, yeah,
isn't it mad that?
Oh.
Yeah. He's on about, you know, the Lord Melbury one?
Yes.
You know, with the bricks.
Mm.
And he's pointing at, but I'm too busy waiting for the,
Yes.
Because psychologically, he cannot deal.
Mm.
I mean, has ever a character been so better drawn?
Mm.
You know, it's like the line about your pointless lies, Basil, or something. Like, stop it with your pointless lies. Right, okay.
Yes.
It's like, no argument.
Oh, it's, yeah, that's in The Builders, isn't it? Where she absolutely lets rip at him.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I hadn't realised just how much I love that series.
Mm.
But I can recommend anybody who loves it to watch it with the commentaries. It is phenomenally good.
Yeah. It's interesting as well. I think if you look on the back, it will mention something that it's got one word bleeped out.
Okay.
Something like that. And I thought, ooh, has it now? And they haven't bleeped it.
So why is that there?
I think they were going to bleep it, and then they didn't.
I'm presuming this is the Major's line.
It is the Major's line.
Yeah, I thought
it's there intact, so.
Well, it's character. That's the character.
Yes, it is, but you nevertheless can't.
Well, no, you can't now, but these were made in 1975.
I know, but we're not allowed to use history as an excuse, really, are we?
No. But you can't go mucking around with Fawlty Towers.
Oh, no, I completely agree, and I think this idea that, you know, when it was made should have no bearing, I think that's absolute horseshit, because, of course, the context, the creation of a piece of work, its context is everything.
Absolutely.
So I do think it's ridiculous to now be reverse engineering.
It'd be like cutting a square off the Mona Lisa.
It would actually, yes.
Which reminds me.
Yes.
Oh, this is slick, lad.
Here we go.
City of Death.
Mm. Well, we came to that because of a purchase I've made. Now, this is an interesting one. Because I had to get this. And I do mean that, because I needed a new thing for the computer, which is why my picture looks better than yours.
Yes.
However, to get it delivered next day, I had to spend £20. So I got something to put it up to that price, and I can't see it now. That's embarrassing, isn't it? However, hang on. Oh, balls. There it is.
You got it.
Yes. It is the Blu-ray remastered and restored of the BBC's The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes.
And when it arrived, I thought, be good to talk to Mike about this, even though he doesn't like it. And then I thought, no, I've never talked to him about this. Mm. I don't know he doesn't like it. But sure enough.
Yeah.
You're not keen, are you?
So, I didn't know that you'd presumed I didn't like it. What was that based upon?
Nothing. It was almost like a false memory. It was almost like I thought, oh, I must talk to it. Yeah, he doesn't like it. But it was, yeah. And then you said, oh, I don't like it. I said,
No.
I presumed you wouldn't. So why? What is it?
It's just too smug. It's just way too smug. It's too sure of itself. It's too confident. And those aren't qualities that Catholics are possessed of.
It's a very Church of England production, isn't it? Very C of E Films
so. Very much so. It's the guy wandering around in his jammers all day. It's just like, no.
Why? Common?
Can't go there. You know, I don't expect City Blues and Country Browns, but... No, absolutely not. Why would you be wandering around with a cup of tea? That annoys the shit out of me, people wandering around with brews.
I think there's only one point, isn't there, where he's holding a cup of tea?
It's enough.
But it's because he's drinking a cup of tea.
Okay. That reminds me of all those wankers that you see in the supermarket sipping Costas. It's just like, can't you wait till you get in?
They annoy you a lot.
Oh.
So that's not really smugness, is it? I mean, it's still...
Anyone who's confident enough to wander around swilling coffee in a supermarket should be transported to the colonies. Absolutely not.
Okay. Well,
does that not annoy you?
I don't think so. That one's never annoyed me. But then I don't find The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy to be particularly smug. I think it's just quite witty. I like witty. No?
It's all that undergraduate stuff, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's
well,
very...
What's that mean? I mean, I don't know what that is
well,
meant to
mean.
Well,
it's very footlights, you know?
Well, from where we get Peter Cook and John Cleese and the goodies.
I know, but they're sort of... They seem more culturally aware, whereas Douglas Adams' stuff exists within its own sort of universe, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it still has a cultural awareness, doesn't it?
I haven't ever watched it, by the way.
Have you not?
No.
Oh.
No, I just took offence at the pyjamas and that was it, really.
Have you ever listened to the radio series?
So, I've heard bits of the radio series, which didn't help, because it was the first time I took acid.
Okay.
Which, as we've covered before, was a completely accidental thing. Some Hell's Angels told me, oh, you like the Beatles, you like acid. I'd never had a drink at this point.
Yes.
And they said, well, you know, don't have it. Just, you know, think about it. And they literally showed me, hold it like this in your thumb and forefinger, me not knowing it was absorbed through the skin.
Uh-huh.
And I watched them all settle down as what I now know was an audience to watch this kid. And they were all sat in a group in front of me. And they were all pissing their pants at me. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, great, yeah, I will take it. It looks like you're all having fun. And as I put it in my mouth, one of them shouted, you did an hour ago. So anyway, it was accidental.
Oh, yeah.
Officer. And we went, and it was a long story, ended up in this room. It was a big squat. Ended up in this room at the top of the house where the chap put on Hawkwind Live 79 and Altered States on the telly with the volume down.
Right.
But then he put on a Hitchhiker's Guide album.
Oh.
And he thought it was the funniest thing ever and was doing it all. And maybe it comes from this more than the pyjamas.
Maybe it does.
You know what I mean? A chap just performing a thing in front of you. You remember how we all did it when we were in sixth form? We'd all go in and do Blackadder and the young ones and all that. We all did that. We all
Derek
did that.
Derek and Clive as well.
Exactly.
Yes.
And this feels a little bit like me in the common room doing my best Lord Melchett to me.
Right. But that's not what the programme is. That's what this bloke did.
Yes.
So... So maybe...
But I only recently started being able to listen to The Orb because I didn't like the guy who liked The Orb.
Okay. That's...
You know that one.
Yeah, but it's just, these are all quite, I mean, no, fair enough. I just think maybe you should watch it and give it a go and, you know, see
if
you enjoy it.
I think you're probably right. I don't think the Martin Freeman remake helped.
No, nothing like that helps. Nothing new helps.
No.
Ever.
No. No, and
Disney.
Peter Davison and his wife are in it, aren't they?
Are they?
I don't know.
I don't. Have I gone out of focus? Oh, I did. Ooh.
You need that app. Anyway,
I
mean, they're the reasons. Make of those what you will.
No, fair enough. Well, I'll tell you what, though. As we're talking about things that annoy us for no reason at all, I'm going to quote you something here, which has offended me mightily. It's from a discussion on some Facebook group. I don't know what it is. However, one person has commented the following. I happily learned recently that I can call my sister's non-binary child my nibbling, replacing niece or nephew. Kinda cute.
Right, so let's unpack this, yes, as the Americans say.
Yes.
I'm detecting, knowing your character, four flashpoints within that. Okay. The first one is the use of the phrase non-binary.
For a child,
Yeah. Then nibbling.
Oh, that one makes me feel quite sick.
Yeah. Oh, hang on, there might only be three. But the kinda cute kind counts as cute. Two. Is, well, it kinda?
As in kinder, yes. But two full stops.
Two full stops?
Kinda cute, two full stops. But it gets worse because somebody has replied and said, and the gender neutral term for aunt / uncle is pibbling.
I kind of get nibbling,
as pibbling.
In sibling. And
it's absolutely adorable. However, they go on. I've got two friends who are NB, E-N-B-I. So one is Pibbles and the other is Pibby Aster. Now, by this point, when I first read it, I started to feel sick. So that would mean that I'm apparently Pibbling Paul, which makes me sound like something out of a Beatrix Potter book. And I'm not having it. No.
I immediately think of the Nibble Pibblies.
The
in
what?
Blackadder's Christmas Carol.
Oh.
Have you vanquished the Nibble Pibblies?
Yes.
That's but what I thought you were on about.
No, somebody's taken that and said from now on, it's nibbling and pibbling. What's going on?
You know what? I think you're one of those people that does need a day job.
Why?
Because then you won't get bogged down in the nomenclature used by people you don't care about, you will never meet. Oh, a thumbs up. What on earth is that?
Why have you got a thumbs up appearing? Do that again.
Whoa! Oh. That's mad.
Right, well, hang on. So if you, yeah, go on.
Oh, it doesn't do that.
It doesn't do
American.
Anything.
Oh, American.
Oh.
No.
No. What if you wave?
That's, I don't like that.
I don't like that. Now, we should explain for those just listening that currently on Mr. Livesley's fancy new camera, if he puts his thumbs up, he generates a little on-screen emoji that comes, oh.
No, it's like Black Mirror, that.
Yeah, no, isn't I don't it? Like that. It's
I don't
watching
like that.
You. It's proper watching you, isn't it?
But anyway, bollocks to these people. You don't care. Not really.
Oh, no, I don't care.
You've got better things to be doing.
I just don't think it's on. I know I shouldn't care. I know I shouldn't care. I know. But nevertheless.
You wouldn't have liked people who used to say faux shizzle then?
Well, no. I don't know what that meant. Now, that was the 80s, wasn't it?
No. No, it was the Big Bang Theory.
I've watched one episode of that. I wanted to be sick.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, that was dreadful.
Oh, just no. Have you seen Young Sheldon?
What?
You know the main character in it is called Sheldon.
The stupid thin one.
That's him.
Right.
Yeah, the Charles Hawtrey sort of
dude. Fanny's about. Yes, that one.
Him, yeah. They've made a prequel to it called Young Sheldon. Where he's being a child and really smart.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid so.
And they always run for about 18 series.
I think it's on series 22 now. It's been on 4 years.
It makes me sick. It really does.
Yes.
I can't be doing with any of that. So you've got your choices. Your undergraduate humour or Young Sheldon.
Oh, I'll have, you know, Martin Freeman in his jammers all day.
Which is a fair point. I mean, that should have put anyone off. That film was... God, it was rubbish.
I think I did see it really drunk, but I think I did see it.
Well, I've seen it once. Who's the bloke who plays... I can't remember any of them, in fact. I don't like any of them or any of it. It was awful.
Not as bad as the Dad's Army remake. Have you seen that?
Is that the one with Bill Nighy playing himself again?
And Eddie is shit as Mannerin.
Yes.
No. But to drag us back into the world of nice, I made a third unapproved purchase this week. It hasn't arrived yet, but it's because Mike Hodges said on that commentary that the next thing he went to do was a series called The Frighteners. So I bought that.
Yeah, Network put that out a good few years ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, well, it's only 12 quid on CEX.
That's not bad.
It's 30-odd pound on Amazon and eBay.
Yes. Oh, no, that's jolly good. That's worth a look.
Yes, proper telly. Proper times, no nibble pibblies.
No. So, well, the other thing, incidentally, which I've done this week, I've been reading an awful lot more than I
forgot I got Type and Space book as well.
You've got that. That's
but that's
wonderful.
Downstairs.
Oh, well, mine's there, but we can talk about that next week. But,
yes.
I've been reading an awful lot more than usual and finished this. Now then, Pull to Open, right? Now, this is... It's the process at the BBC that led to them creating Doctor Who, because it was made by committee, of course. And the great thing with the BBC is they keep every bit of paper. So they're able to sort of... It's a research dive, essentially, which I've absolutely loved this book. However, I'd like to quote something here, and this is the sort of thing that I miss, right? Now, this is about the 22nd of November, a very important day, of course. However... Also, the day that JFK got shot.
Yeah.
And there's this lovely thing where they're talking about how all of a sudden they had to drop the schedule and just replace it and get stuff on. And here we go. Harold Wilson's deputy, George Brown, right? So the deputy PM.
Drunkard.
Oh, yes. George Brown taking part in Associated Reader Fusion's tribute special over on the ITV network. Brown went on a drunk, exaggerating how well he had known Kennedy and was subject to much criticism and ridicule afterwards. So I thought, how did he actually cope with that? Because these days, of course, a Tory MP, or in fact any MP, all MPs, they're all the bloody same, would try and justify what they'd done, right? Brown gave a statement. Do you know what that statement was?
No.
Well, I was drunk. And that's it.
Brilliant.
That's
brilliant,
it.
Brilliant.
That's all it is. It was very late at night. I was drunk. It's
absolutely.
Just...
That's my world, you see.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
That's... I realised this week, though, since I stopped being drunk all the time.
Yes.
I've been taking life too seriously.
Have you?
Mm. Yes. It's only the slow realisation over the last few months. And the wonderful thing is that I've appeared to have refound my silly.
Oh, that's good.
Which is, really good. And it's, something that I hadn't even known I'd lost. You know, you become more and more sort of serious as the... Not, I mean, I'm not serious. I've never been serious. But,
no, but serious.
But actually taking things seriously and giving things too much importance... And not taking time to, you know, smell the roses and stuff like that. What a nice thing to forget about and refind. Being silly.
Being silly is important.
It really is important. It's it's sort of, you know, especially when it's such a key component of who you are, whether you like it or not.
Mm.
You know.
No, absolutely. It's
so
such...
George Brown was a man.
Yes.
Who never lost his silly.
Never lost his silly.
Clearly. Isn't he the guy who was rolling in the gutters, click, and it was the front page of the newspapers?
Yes, that's the one, yeah. And who was the one? It was the Archbishop of someone. I can't remember. Well, I'll have to look it up. But one of them, an Archbishop who was in the back of a car, and it wasn't his car. It was a car that a family had parked, and it was close to Christmas. And it was full of presents and things. And they came back to find the Archbishop pissed out of his head, rolling around on the back seat, throwing presents, and he just shouted, "I'm the Archbishop, this is what I do." I'm going to have to check which one it was. I was very careful not to make a suggestion there, but that was, proper archbishops in those days.
Well, yeah. But the world was much more proper.
But newsreaders as well, who would occasionally, we all knew occasionally, newsreaders who would go on slightly pissed. Who was that one?
Cat had to be taken off during the commercial break one night, didn't he? And Anna
Ford
completed the broadcast.
Yeah, that's right. Proper pissed. And there was a BBC chap as well, Peter something. He started doing a broadcast and he only got about 2 minutes in. And he's arseholed when you listen to it. Proper pissed.
Well, you've heard that one, haven't you? The fleet's all lit up.
Oh, that's, you know,
there's like a fairy castle.
Yes.
Oh, superb stuff. Superb
that's
stuff.
That's stunning stuff. So, yes, there you go.
So a nice week all in, apart from the nibble pibblies.
Apart from all of that sort of nonsense, which I don't really care about at all.
No. The world's gone mad.
Yeah. I think that's the problem, isn't it? It's all gone mental.
Yes.
And there's nothing that we can do about it.
Well, as I told you before, I was having spot of lunch on Sunday, and there was a totally unreconstructed bloke in there. Black singlet. It's cold. Black singlet, gold,
right.
Perm,
yeah,
Geordie, swilling beer, laughing, and by the time it was time to leave, singing Sunday lunchtime in a pub.
Well, exactly. I mean, this was earlier today. It's not 3 o'clock in the afternoon yet.
No.
This man was singing.
Yeah. 1987, mate. It was totally like travelling in time. I remember when them blokes were 10 a penny. You know what I mean? But when you see one in the wild now, it's like spotting the sort of Tasmanian tiger or something. It's just, you know, or catching a coelacanth.
Or seeing somebody off that awful show Phoenix Nights, which I don't like, which brings us back to something that you said right at the beginning. What was that now?
I knew there was something else. Ockle ding dang do for me, cockle. The inoffensive, charming chap from Belton.
So Paddy McGuinness has now been given a Radio 2 slot.
I think your it's Radio 2
my,
slot.
I'd like that one.
Yes. Replacing Steve Wright in the afternoon. No, he's not.
No.
Michael Ball's replacing Steve Wright. Is
so
this
he's
right?
Gone into the Michael Ball slot or
oh,
something?
Bollocks, I don't know.
Michael Bollocks, yes.
Yeah.
And all I've seen so far is just people saying, why do the BBC have an obsession with Paddy McGuinness? Why do they think we want to see him? I agree.
Aye, apparently he was on Question of Sport. That one passed me by.
Well, this is the point.
Mind you, Bill Beaumont and Emily News is the last time I saw a Question of Sport.
Proper Question of Sport. I mean, I hated it because it was sport, obviously.
Boring. It was like My Music, but shit.
But I kind of like Bill Beaumont because I thought he could kill me. So I'd better like him. I remember thinking that.
I just liked him and obviously loved Emily Hughes.
Yeah.
Liverpool Football Club legend, lad.
Yeah. I thought there was something wrong with him. I thought he was one of those people.
He had that haircut, didn't he?
I think that may have been
the
what
Matt
it was.
Matt Skilbeck.
Yeah, that huge, huge haircut going on.
There was a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
What was that?
It's sort of a valley. I don't understand.
No.
It
was like
I'm not sure.
Baked.
Oh, yeah. That wouldn't have moved. Emily
no,
Hughes
it didn't.
Hair.
At all,
no.
ever.
No. Not at all. So, but you're right. Paddy McGuinness, right, goes on to Question of Sport after it's been on since, what, about 1974, I think it started.
Years.
So it's run for longer than I've been alive. Oh, let's put Paddy McGuinness in charge of it. That's a good idea. Dead within 2 years, axed.
What happened to
Sue Barker?
Sue Barker, is that who it was? Sue Barker.
Sacked so Paddy McGuinness could do it.
You're kidding.
No, show lasts 2 years, gone. It's axed now.
I mean, it was a dreadful programme. It
a
really
dreadful
was
program
crap.
That, a dreadful programme that nevertheless got more than 2 million viewers an episode.
A dreadful programme a lot of people loved. I'm not
there
knocking
you go.
It. It just wasn't for me. But I can't see why you'd replace a winning anchor
they
like that.
Think that that people want to watch him. They genuinely think that.
No, surely not.
Right, okay.
They must do, yeah.
All right, so you've got the Question of Sport. He goes and he destroys it. So let's go. Top Gear. Top Gear's been on since, what, 1977? No problems. They've changed the format, the people, all sorts. McGuinness comes in. 3 years, they've axed it.
Has that gone as well?
That's gone as well. So I suspect they've gone, oh, shit, we're paying him a lot of money. He's under contract. Radio 2.
Right. That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah. They should pay him off.
Should. Yes.
Well, there'll be a legal obligation. If, as you suspect, he's just under contract and they've got
to make
him
do something.
I think
there should be a legal obligation to send him to Dartmoor for 25 years. I can't be doing with this.
You'd
now.
Watch that.
I'd watch that. What, solitary confinement? Just a camera looking at him
yeah.
as he prowls around like an animal?
Yeah,
Just
breaking
eating
rocks.
food, eating food, shitting, and then he goes out and breaks rocks with his bare hands.
Could
Back
call
to
it McGinnis
yourself,
Flint.
food and shit. That's
Yeah.
it. I'd watch that.
Yeah, all day.
Oh, I'd have that live on YouTube. Just, whatever I'm doing, just have a little screen with that on. How's McGinnis? Still breaking rocks. Good.
Yeah, sowing mailbags.
Oh, something like that. Just 25 years.
I'm
That's
sure
sorted.
he's a lovely man. Well, I'm not. I've no
No, how
idea.
do you know?
I
He could
don't
be
know.
awful. He
But
could be lovely.
as a broadcaster, fucking no.
Oh, and it's the same sort of nibbles, pibbles, piglet bullshit with, oh, let the fanny see the rat and all that sort of babyfication. I can't stomach that. You're
He
not
was
gonna.
on Question Time, apparently.
Yes, he was. Why?
What did he say on that? Hey.
Yes, basically. Oh, nothing. Nothing of any consequence. Because what did he
Well,
talk about? Bolton.
there's
Oh,
not
who
been loads
cares?
of clips of him on Question Time doing the rounds, have there?
No. And usually, so if you get an Ian Hislop on there or someone, someone who starts handing people their asses, you get lots of clips. McGuinness goes on there, nothing.
No. No,
No.
no, no. No, no,
No.
no. No, not for me. Not for me. But then that whole thing is just, as we beat this one to death last time we spoke about it. But that whole world, hey.
Oh, absolutely not.
Dibner, yeah.
Dibner's different.
Knew his place.
Top of the chimney. Very
Yeah.
good, Dibner. Well done. Lovely. But he wouldn't have tried to present Blind Date.
No.
If he would,
No.
I would have watched that,
Well, you're
actually.
all fucking daft.
Yeah.
That'd have been his attitude, wouldn't he? No.
But no. Oh, no, it
No.
upsets me.
There's three, actually. It isn't the K twins, is it? Oh, it is the K twins. Yeah, Vernon and Peter. They're from Bolton.
They
Hey.
are. Yeah. Oh. Put them all in the same room and then bomb it.
Well,
That's all you
that's
need to
one
do.
solution.
Just,
Do you like a
yeah.
program called The Last Leg? I've never seen it. But it's part of that same world, isn't it?
But do you know the premise?
No.
Okay. Here we go. So The Last Leg started on Channel 4
Yeah.
as a satirical magazine program that they ran every evening one year when they were covering the Paralympics.
Oh, I see. Ha ha.
Right. So that's why, with your presenting lineup, you've got Adam Hills, because he's only got one leg.
Right. I don't know who he is.
He's an Australian, right? And then you've got the two other presenters. I can't remember their names now.
No.
Anyway, one of them's got issues with his hands and the other one's ginger.
Okay.
And then they chat about the news and say, here's Joanna Lumley. And Joanna Lumley comes on. And then that's it.
Is it any good?
I mean, it's watchable, I
Is it
suppose.
like that countdown for cats or whatever it's called?
Oh, well, there's no game show element.
No, but it's that world, isn't it,
It
of
is
people
that
who are
world.
far too pleased with themselves.
They're all very pleased with themselves, yes.
Yeah,
That
yeah.
sort of Jimmy Carr, Miles Jupp, they're
Oh,
very happy.
Jimmy Carr, man.
Not a fan.
Always looks like he can smell shit, doesn't he? You know what I mean? No, do you like Jimmy Carr?
No,
No. That's
not
good.
at all. Oh, God,
That's
no.
good. Yeah.
No.
No.
They're all
No.
dreadful, these people.
Why is it Countdown for Cats? Is the cats in it?
No. It's called 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Right?
Okay.
So you've got Countdown, TV
Right.
program, right? But
That's
there's also,
safe.
right, that's safe. But you've also got 8 out of 10 Cats, right? Which is shit. And that's a panel show about statistics. Okay?
No.
How many percentage of the people in the UK think that plums should be burned, that sort of shit, and then
Yeah.
and these comedians then joke about plums. That's sort of hosted by Jimmy Carr, right?
Yeah.
But obviously that's quite narrow, you're a sitcom about a game show about statistics. So like, oh, it's not going to go very far. What about if we just have exactly the same people, but we take them up to Manchester and they do Countdown? Yeah, all right. Jimmy Carr presents Countdown. That's what it is, but played by comedians who aren't very good at
No.
Countdown. No.
No. You see, Countdown was shit. Is it
But
still on Countdown?
oh yes.
Right. Oh, right.
Colin
So
Murray presents it now. I Northern Irish chap.
I quite like Colin Murray.
I quite like him, and I
I
quite
know.
like him on Countdown.
Yeah. Colin Murray was good on a station you'd never listen to, Talksport.
Absolutely not. Why would I do
And
that?
then to show he had a lot of principle, when Kelvin McKenzie took over at Talksport, due to Hillsborough and him being a Liverpool Football Club fan, he
Yeah.
quit. And he did it in a very gentlemanly way. No noise, no, that just a statement stating exactly why his conscience wouldn't allow him to work for this chap, and exited, which I thought
Good.
was very dignified
I
and
approve
very
of that.
principled. I like Colin Murray, but is it still shit?
That's still exactly the same program.
Because Richard Whiteley was so shit.
Oh,
He was
awful.
so shit.
Proper shit.
Really shit.
Yeah,
But
but
it
a consummate
transcended.
professional.
Consummately shit.
Yeah, but brilliant.
Yeah, but
He
it
could be those two
transcended.
things. Oh yeah, absolutely
It
did.
looked
Yeah.
like he was in. He's like, yes, it is shit, isn't it? It looked like he knew it was shit.
That's exactly it. It's got that lovely Alan Partridge thing to it, hasn't it? It
Yeah.
really does have that element of everyone knows that it's shit. We know Richard's shit, everything's shit, but
Yeah.
nevertheless, we're all in on it. I love that.
I'm presuming he's a chap who, what did they say, made his bones with calendar. He would have been a calendar man, Yorkshire TV,
He
wouldn't
was. He
he?
was Callender's Yorkshire. He was there from 68, actually, from the very beginning. And that leads to then a whole archive of Richard Madeley buggering up, like the ferret. Remember the
Whiteley.
ferret
The
trying to eat him?
ferret is exactly what I
Whiteley.
was thinking.
The ferret eating him. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
And then Countdown, which has been on every day for 42 years.
Carol Vorderman's not on it anymore, is she?
No.
She's too busy wearing like tight pants
She likes pants, yeah.
and
No.
doing stuff on the internet.
I don't think she's been on it for about 12 years.
Oh, yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rachel Riley is on it.
Don't know her.
No.
Because I've
There
not
you
seen
go.
it. And who
No.
replaced him then?
Oh, a
Whiteley.
succession of people. You
Right.
had who did you have? You had Nixon, you had Jeff Stelling.
Oh, I like him.
Right, you had him. Then you had
Soccer
Nick
Saturday.
what?
Soccer Saturday.
Absolutely no, never.
I used to love that on a Saturday.
What? No, what? No, you didn't.
I did.
I don't believe. No.
Phil Thompson, Matt Letizia,
Right.
who was the other chap who used to be on it?
Hitler.
Paul Merson
Oh,
and Jeff Stellings.
yeah. Paul Merton sounds like Paul Merton. I get
It does.
disappointed. Right, if I turn that on, I was expecting Paul Merton, and I had some.
You would never have watched Sa Soccer Saturday. It's probably still on.
I don't believe you.
My
Why did.
weekends used to be, right, you wake up hungover on a Saturday, get your way through Football Focus at 12:15 with a
Right.
huge breakfast. And then that was over at 1, and the BBC didn't show football. So I'd go down
No.
Lark Lane, straight to a pub, Soccer Saturday. Couple of dozen pints, watch the football. It's great.
When was the
I'd
last
lost
time
my
you watched
silly.
a. Yeah. When was
I'd
the last
lost
time
my
you watched a
silly.
football match, then?
Oh, I've watched countless. It was COVID that did it for me. You know when they started having the matches with no spectators, and you could choose with the remote which kind of spectator
Ambience.
row you wanted. All false.
Yes.
And I think that it's the same as any performance without the spectators. I think the football players kind of realized it's like, hang on, this is flat without the interaction with the spectators. And yeah, and Liverpool won their first Premiership title under those conditions. And I didn't like it.
Didn't you?
No, I didn't. No. It
See,
didn't feel proper.
I think I'd probably approve more of such sports if they're paid without spectators. But I think also if you could not have any cameras in there, that would
Or
help.
football.
Well, they can play football in this airtight box if they want.
For millions and millions of pounds.
Yes.
Well, no one's going to pay if no one can watch it.
Precisely, and then they'll have to get proper work, won't they? Because that offends me as well, how much they're paid. That's obscene.
Yeah, I was never any good at football at all, ever.
Oh,
I was
God.
always put in goal.
I was
Always put in goal.
determined not to be any good at it. So I don't know. I could be brilliant. I could be a natural. But from day one, I thought, no, I'm not doing it. I
You'd have played for
refused.
Everton, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't have played for anyone. When I was forced to at school, I would deliberately choose to go in goal. And everybody hated that. See, you were put in goal and you probably tried.
Well, I
I'd
was
say,
never picked. Do you remember how it was done?
oh, in our case, I didn't wait. I'll do the goal. People hated it because they knew I would just stand there with my arms folded and go, no.
Well, that's what the Bonzo song Sport the Odd Boy is about, isn't it?
Yes.
The odd boy lay down on the football field, took out a slim volume of Mallarmé.
There you
The
go.
centre forward called him an imbecile. It's an odd boy who doesn't like sport.
There you go.
Yes,
Absolutely.
well, I didn't either.
No.
I used to stand and go, oh God, I hated it. Used to get dragged out on a Sunday morning for football practice.
Oh my God.
Football practice. I'd practice standing in goal.
Well, that's terrible.
Dreadful.
Did you?
Dreadful.
Well, what if it was raining?
You still went?
No.
I went to
No,
school
I.
with these twins, Michael and Gary Cunliffe, and their dad Billy ran the team, and the transit van would appear on the front.
Oh, you'd
No.
have to get in the van
I'd
and be
have to get
taken.
in cold, wet, boots clankering in vans,
Oh, I'd rather have
football
got into the
boots.
back of an IRA van. That
It
sounds
was like that.
awful. Yeah.
It was like that.
Oh, God.
No. Sundays, man. And Wurzel would be on a summit.
Well, there you are.
And you're like, no, I'm staying. I don't know why I did it. Why did I do what I
I
did?
don't know. This is choice as well, isn't it? This is
I
choice.
did make the choice to go. I felt I should. I don't
Well,
know.
obligated in some way.
Yeah. Yeah,
By
yeah, yeah.
what? Because God's watching and you were wasting your Saturdays.
Not particularly God, but it was kind of like you were nobody if you weren't into sport when I went to school.
Right.
You know what I mean? You were
Well,
kind of, well, you've got school, haven't you? Right.
right.
And all the things I was good at, or, well, not really good at, but the shite we talk on here,
Yeah.
those are conversations which couldn't have happened in school.
Oh, no, absolutely. If I'd have gone and talked about Howard's Way,
You
I wouldn't have done well.
wouldn't be sitting here now.
I wouldn't at all,
No.
no.
So, of course, in such a sort of conversational void, you had to find things to talk about.
Yes.
Football. So, in order to sort of take some position on the social ladder, you needed football. Do you get what I
See,
mean?
yes, but you see, what I did was I did things like join the choir.
Ah, there was a problem there.
What's that?
Mr. Lawton. He hated me.
And did he run the choir?
He run the choir. But I was the best singer. So he'd have to have me in. And I remember him kicking me out and then coming to ask me to come back into it. No.
Oh, did you say no?
I said no.
Oh, no, I
Get
don't want to do that. I want to
fucked.
stand in a field on Sundays in the rain.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, that's what they call vainglorious, isn't it?
Tis,
You
it
know,
is.
but no, you had the odd cool teacher, thankfully. You had the
Well, that's
cool
good.
teacher, and Lindsay McLaughlin.
Yes.
Got to talk to her.
Well, what, on Sundays?
No, that was a weekday vibe.
So she didn't do football.
No, not that I know of.
Right, good.
No.
As she should be. Needlework would have been more suited.
Maybe, oddly enough, 30 years later, 40 years later, I used to go to yoga at 6 a.m. every day on Lark Lane Community Centre.
Yeah.
It's great. Her cousin also went there. So I got to find out how Lindsay was doing. How nice.
Oh, that's nice.
So there
And
you
is she
go.
doing well?
Probably still not expunged the image of me eating a suitcase of food in 60 seconds
I don't think
yet.
that's something you can ever forget.
There were certainly no invitations to dinner,
Oh, no.
which arose
Bring
from
your own
this.
suitcase.
Bring your ass. Just turn up at the door with it.
The
You haven't seen him for 40 years, but he's here tonight. Yeah,
Oh.
quick save Cornish pasties. Well,
Bless. Yeah.
I don't know if any of that has any cultural merit that we've spoken about this week. I particularly enjoyed your nibble pibbly rant.
Well, I think we've covered an awful lot this week.
We have.
Yes. I've
We
just
have.
noticed as well there that I should say that Audacity seems to have just turned off on my computer.
Yeah, you're not exactly enamored with the new Audacity interface.
I'm not, and it's no longer running, Michael. So it could be that this is going to have to go out just with as-is voices.
Right, well, we'll find out because we're
Oh,
done
shit.
anyway. It's
We're
almost
done.
time to see
I
if the
think so.
Geordie lad has ripped the town apart.
Absolutely, it is.
Brilliant. Just brilliant.
Terrifying.
You needed to see him.
I don't know, because I've always been a bit wary of them ever since Biker Grove. I didn't like any of that.
Well, better than Geordie Eddie Hitler.
Much better than Geordie Eddie Hitler. I hope
Geordie
to
Eddie
never see
Hitler.
him again.
You
But,
will. You will.
oh, I don't
You
want
will.
to. I'll avoid.
Mind you, there's a quick turnaround. Those guys don't often stick around for more than 6 months.
Do you think he'll end up in jail?
He might be in jail now,
Oh, I'd like
breaking
that.
rocks with Paddy McGuinness.
I'd like that.
You
I'd
would.
like that.
You
Get the
would.
security camera on, live stream that on the red button. Oh, worth the license fee, that.
Year of the Sex Olympics style.
Perfect.
Perfect.
That do me. Oh, it's a nice thought to end on.
It's a nice thought to end on. Paddy McGuinness in a stripy suit. Plenty of porridge.
Yes.
Hey, it's sound in here. Fuck! Someone just batters him. Back to work, McGuinness.
Yes, that's what's needed.
Watch the program this week. You would have hated The Three Body Problem. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's on Netflix and it's based
Ooh.
on this massive, sprawling Chinese sci-fi trilogy.
Godzilla, basically.
No, it's called The Three Body Problem. Very starts really well. I was really into it for the first three episodes. And then, do you remember Liam Cunningham, the actor? Fine
The
actor.
Game of Thrones
You got it.
he's in, yes.
Yeah. Liam Cunningham, halfway through, seems to realize he's playing a cartoon character. And it falls apart for me.
Oh.
Really weird. You know, in the same way, do you remember reading about Eccleston? Whether this is true or not, you'll know because you've read the truth about those years now. I've not read those books. But I remember it being said that Eccleston was having trouble with the part because there was nothing rooted in reality and he was used to playing, things with social commentary and da da da. Does that ring true?
Yes, it does, yeah.
Right. I think Liam Cunningham had the same problem with this part. He's such a caricature. And I thought for the first three episodes, he was fantastic because he is fantastic.
Yeah, he's a stunning actor.
But I felt his confidence went. And it was weird for me when you see an actor on screen or on stage that isn't really pulling me into this, fantasy.
Well, it's always down to belief, isn't it? And this week I interviewed Mark Strickson from
Oh,
Doctor Who, Turlough.
yeah, of course you did. Who I
And
saw was trending or something the other day as well. No, Big Finish have just released something, haven't they?
they have, that's right. Yeah, but anyway, we're having a bit of a chat, and he was talking about the whole sort of thing that, if you want to define a good actor and a bad actor, it's really simple. A good actor believes it. Simple as that. And
Totally.
he said, you just believe it. So
Totally.
he brought up the Tractatus thing. I didn't have to ask him,
Ah, good,
where
good.
he's famously lying there, foaming at the mouth, just muttering Tractatus, Tractatus, Tractatus over and over. But he said, you just believe it. And that's it. And you act it. And he said, that's all acting is. So.
He always seemed like that other famous ginger chap, Prince Harry, like a spur companion.
He wasn't, well, yeah, I think he wasn't utilized very well, was he?
No, not
Because
at all.
you've got those first eight episodes where he's trying to kill the doctor, and then he can't kill the doctor, so the doctor goes, do you want to come and live with us? It's like,
Yeah.
well, that's a bit
I
of a
still love
strange
Margin Undead,
premise.
though.
Oh, it's
I
beautiful.
still love Margin Undead.
Yeah.
Weird to read years later. It was meant to be Chesterton,
Yeah,
and then you
absolutely.
go, ah,
Yeah.
now I see what the whole setup was about.
It makes an awful lot more sense if they could only have cast him, but he was doing something at
Something
Granada, I think.
else.
Yeah.
Something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they should have had a story, a proper Brigadier story, and the Chesterton one. That would have been stunning, wouldn't
That
it?
would be
Wouldn't it
great.
just?
Oh,
Well, on that cozy thought,
we're still going, aren't we?
we
Yes.
are.
Sorry.
Yes. No, good. I'm glad you covered the Strickson thing. I meant to ask you about that.
Yeah, I'll let you have a look at that
Is this
because
part of I don't know which project it's part of. Is it part of the convention or
This
part
is
of?
no, this is part of the convention. This one. Oh, your camera's going a bit
I
exciting
know it's
there.
mental, isn't
It
it?
went very dark shadows there. Here we go. Thumbs up. Hey!
Bollocks. I hate that. I'm gonna have to turn that off. It knows what I'm thinking.
Oh
Nice.
well,
Well,
yeah,
that's a
very
nice
nice.
thing to do.
That was a nice thing to do.
You
So
know.
yes, and hopefully just a couple of paperwork things to do now. But
Do you
apart
mean
from that,
real things?
real things. I want to do a real
I've
thing
got
or
lots of
two.
real things.
I've got to do some of those this week, but hopefully some nice things too.
It's just moving on its own.
It is.
Yeah, lots of nice things. Lots of nice things, which we'll talk about after the show.
We will,
We
absolutely.
will.
Yes.
Right. Okay, definitely finishing now.
That'll do.
Not interviewed any more stars.
No, I don't think so. No, I'll have
No.
a think, but no, that'll do for now.
Galaxy of stars.
Yes.
Right then. Well, we hope you all enjoyed whatever that was, and we hope you all have a lovely week. And until the next time,
Goodbye.
bye bye. To Modern Living was presented by Sir Michael Livesley and Lady Paul Carmichael. The music was written by Michael Livesley, and the flutes were played by Andy Frizzell and John No Jokes Please Lewis. Nice Things is a Guilty Dog production.